Like they've called this meeting to order. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back from a long vacation due to our virus, right? We'd like to welcome you all to this evening's meeting. It is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. This evening, the invocation will be done by Mr. Robertson, and the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Councilmember Bettencourt. Would you please stand and remain standing?
Good evening. Bow with me if you would. Our Heavenly Father, during this unprecedented time, we pray for all of the people around the world affected by the coronavirus. And Lord, we pray for the medical professionals and researchers responsible for finding a cure. And we pray for business owners and families that are facing financial difficulties during this situation. We ask that you would protect families and friends and remove the fear, the stresses, and the anxiety that people are experiencing. And we pray for our government leaders, our state leaders, our city leaders, that you would provide them strength and wisdom during this difficult time. And we ask that you would bring just an overall healing and peace to all. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
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 Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Bettencourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fass is not here. Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Pignon.
Here. And just to acknowledge, Mayor Pro Tem Fass is absent this evening, just for the record. Can we have approval on the agenda, please?
Yes, Mayor. There are no changes to the new agenda. The agenda that was posted initially to the public had an item 15 that was a final tract map. That agenda was canceled and reissued. Item 15 should now be the emergency budget item for the Chamber of Commerce. So if your agenda does not look like that, please let us know. We don't need necessarily an approval on that, but I did want to point it out at this time. And also for the sake of the agenda, I do want to point out that we are live streaming this meeting. And for each of the areas where we open to public comment, we will be providing an opportunity for people to call in. And so that does take about a minute to a minute and a half of lag time. So we will have to wait that minute to a minute and a half. If anybody would like to call in to make a public comment or a question, the number is 637-4200, extension 290. So thank you, Mayor. We will need an approval on the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt.
Yes.
Mayor Pignon.
Yes. Public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any questions or comments from the council?
And since this is public comment, Mayor, we will have to wait that 90 seconds, which is probably going to feel like a very long time.
Very good. So, any questions from the public? This is the time to call.
And again, while we're waiting on that, the number is 637-4200, extension 290. Paul, are you going to test it and try it? And Council, we did test it in advance, so.
Great. So we know it works.
Yeah.
I Very good. Is there a motion to approve?
Well, Mayor, you may want to move to the consent agenda.
I'm sorry. There we go. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item under a consent agenda category. A recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoptions of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Is there any questions or comments from the council?
From the public. To approve the consent agenda.
Any questions or comments?
Second. I have a second.
I second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Back?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. To a public hearing. Public hearing regards proposed amendments to certain department fees and charges for services and the citywide master fees schedule. Administrative services.
Paul. Are you doing your master fees? Sorry, we're already on
Mr. Malikian.
14. I know that went fast.
Thank you very much, Mayor and City Council. This is an annual process that we've done for the last 7 or so years to review and update our master fee schedule for citywide. All departments' fees are included here. We take care to do a full review to make sure that we're still recovering costs where appropriate, and in some cases actually proposing to reduce fees charged to the public for various services, as well as to make sure that we align with state law or best practices. The process has not changed from last year, in that any fees that we are proposing to revise, update, or decrease are shown in bold italics in the attached fee schedule. And I'll just go through very quickly. I assume that that you've had a chance to review the staff report, but I'll go through very quickly. And if you have any questions on the specific areas, please stop me if you'd like. In the areas of our utilities billing, we're looking to clarify some of the language that we use to require an account deposit if the customer poses a financial risk to the city. And we're adding a $10 construction water fee that has been in place for many years, but was inadvertently left out of the schedule. And the fire department, we're proposing to implement the second of a 2-year phase-in of an increase to the fire inspection services fees. The fire inspection fees had not been updated for many, many years, since before I started with the city. And last year, the fire chief identified those fees for a increase, but the increase to be able to cover the cost of staff would have been too much to bear for the businesses in 1 year, so we are proposed to implement those over 2 years. So that would be the second phase in of those fees in the fire department, and essentially would just be bringing it to full cost recovery. In community services department, that would be a lot of the programs being run out of the community center and the various park sites in the city. Most of the fee increases are being proposed to be about a 3% increase, and that's essentially just to keep up with the rise in minimum wage. There's another dollar an hour increase in January. And since our programs are primarily part-time staff who make minimum wage or very close to above it, our programs are very sensitive to increases in minimum wage. So essentially just trying to keep up with that. So outside of that, though, there are a few areas that are not tied specifically to the increase in minimum wage. One is in adult sports. This is a good example of a program that we're looking to reduce the fees to remain competitive amongst other adult sports programs. We've seen participation sort of drop off in the adult sports leagues the last couple of years. So we're looking at actually lowering the fee to what some surrounding cities are charging in order to generate more interest in the program. We'll still be able to cover a majority of our costs with those programs, but we are looking at, again, trying to attract those teams back. So those other programs, like in Clovis and Tulare, that sort of thing, they're able to keep their fees a little bit lower because they have much bigger populations and can draw a lot more people. So we have smaller leagues because we don't draw from as many people, essentially. We're also proposing to establish fees for a new program that's getting more interest, and that's the adult flag football program. So we're looking to establish fees there. We're looking at also to reorganize some of our seasonal and holiday camp fees. That's discussed in further detail at the bottom of page 2. And that's mostly just a reorganization to make things a little clearer for participants and a little easier for our staff to manage during those times. On the enrichment classes side, we're proposing to increase our CPR and first aid classes from $50 to $75. Again, that's to keep up with rising costs and also to be on parity with the Red Cross classes. So our fee is far below what the Red Cross charges, but that's partially because we're not covering all of our costs to do that. So there's a strong demand for those classes, and we have qualified instructors on staff. So this is a good opportunity to keep that program going. In the preschool area, the adjustments that are proposed for the preschool program are mostly to late fees for parents who are habitually paying late in that program, and also the ones who are also habitually late to pick up their children, which causes a trickle-down effect on the teachers who are having to wait around and not be able to clean up and plan for the next day. So we have to, so this was established several years ago to create a disincentive for parents to pick up their children late. For the community center, just a few changes that are being proposed there. One of which for the fees to rent the sound system and the movie screen, just to update those. They have not been updated since 2013, and it costs the value of those assets are pretty expensive, and we need to be able to keep up and be able to generate revenue to replace those assets one day once they're worn out. And we're also proposing to clean up some of the facility rental fees in the community center just to make them work better for the people who rent the facility. We've had some confusion with some of our fee structure, so we're proposing to clean that up at this time. So that is essentially in a very high highlight as far as what we're proposing to do in the community services department. For community development, which includes our planning and building. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I go back to the California rooms?
Yes, sir.
We're going from 400 to 500.
Yes, that is the refundable deposit. So it's like a security deposit for when people rent the facility. The cost of making repairs when there are damages, the cost of the repairs are going up. So we would like to keep a higher deposit. And again, it's fully refundable if there's no damage to the facility. But staff has made a determination that some of the damages could exceed $400.
And unfortunately, this is a from experience situation. So we have had a lot of damage out there when people rent this, to the point that restroom sinks were torn off walls one time.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just the deposit, and they'll get that back.
Okay. Yeah. The only reason I'm bringing it up, because years ago we did raise the fees, and people were complaining they were going someplace else because it was getting too high. Mm. So our community center was pretty much sitting idle to a point because people, that's because of the Armory at one time was open. So people were going to the Armory, not using the community center.
Yeah.
So as long as we don't outdo ourselves and scare people from using the community center, that's a big plus for us.
You know, we will take a look at that and actually just keep tabs on that and track that data to make sure, and we can
nice
report back to council.
It'd be nice to know how many activities we've had now compared to maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Is it increasing or is it decreasing?
We can get that data. I can tell you right now it is so busy that we're having trouble getting everybody in who wants to be in. Well, not right now, but, you know, when the world is normal.
It'd be nice to know periodically how it's going.
Yeah. We'll get you some data. I think that would be good.
Thank you.
Okay, great. In the area of community development, which includes planning and building fees, we'll start with the building fee area. We're proposing to adjust some of the fee valuation percentages that are found in the state code. So we want to make sure that our valuation percentages align with what's found in the state building code. We're also proposing to remove some fees that are no longer used. If you look at the building fees part of the master fee schedule, it's fairly lengthy for all the different types of permits and inspections and that sort of thing that are available. Some of them are just not being used anymore, so we'd like to remove that. In the area of solar, we call that photovoltaic plan checks. We'd like to introduce a new fee to actually recognize when it's a large-scale project, there's more of a fee, but if you're just a smaller project, smaller home, it's a lower fee. So we're proposing to have a graduated fee scale for the size of the photovoltaic systems. Also, various electrical, mechanical, and plumbing permit fees on pages 11 and 12 of the schedule, if you're following along, are proposed to be amended to clarify application of the fee or to align with the cost of processing and inspecting the services. Essentially, we reviewed the fees and found that some of them do not cover the cost of the building inspector's time to actually go out and perform the fee, and many of these haven't been touched in many years. So that was what that was. In the area of our roofing permit fees, we're adding some additional square footages because, again, if it's a larger project, it's going to take more time, smaller project, less time. So we're adding additional detail for the roofing permits to make sure that we're only charging the amount it actually costs us to issue the permit, process the permit, and perform the inspection. There's a whole new page on 13 for grading plan review and permitting fees. This is a great example of some fees that we've had in place for many years, but upon inspection by city staff, they realized that those fees were not in the master fee schedule. So just like we've done in past years, we're now proposing to add them into the fee schedule so that we truly have a master list of all of our fees. We are, in the area of planning, we're experiencing more requests to defer the payment of development impact fees. So when we get a request to defer the payment of impact fees, those are typically due at the time the builder pulls the building permit. If they don't want to pay or they don't have the ability to pay, then we can defer those fees to a later date. But we have to enter into an agreement with them, and that agreement is recorded as a lien against the property. That's a lot of time on city staff. So we actually physically go down to the county to record that agreement as a lien on the property. It's not done through the mail. We actually go down there. So there's quite a bit of time associated with that. So we are requesting to establish fees for that. In the area of zoning inquiries, so we actually get calls from developers, and this is more than just the casual call, people wanting a formal letter stating what the zoning is for that particular. I'm probably speaking a little bit out of school. Our community development director can probably give more technical. We're actually proposing to reduce that fee because it doesn't take as much time to perform those any longer. And then in the area of development impact fees, the council's been apprised of the state law changes on accessory dwelling units. So there are there's some further clarification needed in our impact fees as to the limitations of how much of an impact fee we can charge for accessory dwelling units. So we're simply aligning our fees for the DIFs to the state law limitations. So that's further explained in the staff report, but that does align our fees with state law. In the area of engineering, this is the bottom of page 4 in the staff report. We're requesting to increase the encroachment permit fee from $29 to $52, again, to align with the actual cost of a encroachment permit being issued. And then some clarification on the plan checking process for improvements and for final maps. We'd like to update those figures to current costs. So whether those are performed by a consultant or by the city engineer or her staff, we found that the last 4 or 5 projects that have come through the pipeline, the costs are much higher than the base fee listed in the master fee schedule. So we're trying to be as transparent as possible with our builders and developers in the community so that they're not surprised by a bill that's 3 times higher than what we said it would be in the fee schedule. So we're trying to be as transparent as possible so there's no surprises. In public works, we just have a few changes that are proposed, none of which affect the utility rates. For solid waste, we're starting to offer a self-locking bin mechanism for the bins, say downtown, that sort of thing. If they're having a problem with a person getting into the bin, pulling things out, creating a problem with trash. This is a self-locking mechanism for the 3-yard bins, and it allows the bin to be dumped normally, but if somebody tries to illegally dump in the bin, it won't allow that to happen. It is battery powered, so what we're proposing is a monthly fee of $15 to rent these, which covers the cost of the mechanism, installation, and the ongoing replacement of the mechanism and the battery. So we've tried this on a limited basis, Russ, to some success.
We have some installed already.
Okay, so there are some installed already out there, and they've worked good.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, talking about trash, the local trash bins for homeowners, do we still have the policy if there's if it's in bad shape, we replace them?
Yeah, for your home residential containers?
Right.
Yes.
So all they have to do.
Just call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'm just curious, Paul, what kind of feedback have you had, or Russ, have you had on these bins that have been installed or in use right now?
Yeah, we've had a lot of great feedback. We tried this on a trial basis at some businesses that were prone to having their bins either filled with trash or people picking through it and making a mess.
Right.
So the mechanism actually doesn't have a battery. It's spring-loaded. So it's a really unique mechanism. A bar goes across both lids. There's a lock on it, so only the business owner can unlock the lock. Mm-hmm. However, when the bin is lifted, when it gets to a certain gravity point, there's pressure on some springs that release. The bar opens up and the bin dumps. So then when it's put back on the ground, there's, you know, because of the gravity and it's put back on the ground, the springs lock back in.
So it doesn't make more work for the people picking up the garbage?
Right. It's been great for us as well because we don't have to, oh, this bin's locked. We got to go get a key. We got to have somebody unlock it, or it's our lock and they can't get in it. So it's been very successful. And the reason for a monthly fee is we did have them, a couple that were damaged. You can still take a crowbar, pry on it, break it. So it's, you know, they're not cheap. So now we have to charge a monthly fee because if it does break or something happens, the city will go replace it.
Sure.
And we've had that happen. Okay. But overall, it's been a very good success.
Great. Russ, I have one question. Are you having any problem with people coming up and just dumping beside the bins that they can't get into?
I'm not aware of any.
I'm just curious.
I'm not aware of any.
Because
it might be a fire
chief. That's not uncommon if somebody can't get in something just to offload it. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Oh, thank you, Russ.
Thank you.
And then finally, the water division, there's a service call-out fee, and we're adding some additional language for the existing fee for a call-out outside of normal business hours. It currently just states if the leak is on the customer side. That's been in place for many years now. But we're actually wanting to include additional language that it includes turning on the water after hours, because there is a higher cost to calling staff out because of the minimum callback time of a minimum 2 hours and potential overtime if that staff member has already worked a full day. So if a customer wishes to have their water turned on outside of business hours, there's a higher cost to do that. So we're just requesting to add that language to the existing fee. Those are pretty few and far between. Customers need it turned on right away. Can't wait until the morning, that sort of thing. But it is few and far between that we receive that. So this presentation is the first of a two-step process. And I should note that these fees are not, and these changes are not proposed to be put into effect until July 1st. So we have several months in which to update our information, to get the information out, as well as potentially come back if there's any issues with the larger scale economy, that sort of thing. But right now, this is the public hearing process. We invite the public to come in, to comment, to call in. And then if the fees are, if there's no changes from the council tonight, we would bring that back on April 14th for consideration of adoption. And again, they would not go into effect until July 1st.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. At this time, I'd like to open up the public hearing. Is there any questions from the public? You have the opportunity to call in, and we will be waiting on your call.
And while Sylvia is timing that for the minute and a half, because it is a public hearing, I do want to repeat the phone number for folks if they want to call in, 637-4200, extension 290. We do have some people listening on the line because I've gotten an email from a couple. So just a reminder for those listening on the line, we need about 60 to 90 seconds because of the delay in our audio streaming.
Very good. Thank you for calling, those of you that called. And we move on from the public hearing. Is there any questions from the council? We now close the public hearing. We move on to item 15. Thank you, Paul.
Don't we have a vote on that?
No vote needed on 14, yeah. We'll bring it back next council meeting.
Item 15, approve amendment number 1 to professional services agreement with the Greater Reedley Chamber of Commerce for $5,000 for emergency business response related to the COVID-19 declaration of emergency.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the opportunity to present this item to council, and particularly because it is somewhat of a last minute item. Although I do want to just emphasize that it was agendized in time. We, as you know, are experiencing an unprecedented national emergency with the COVID-19 coronavirus crisis. It is particularly hard-hitting for our businesses, our salons, our spas, our restaurants, the clothing stores. Some of our businesses are able to remain open, as you know, and some are not. What has been good through this process, and it's been about a week and a half since everything really started rolling in fast and heavy from the governor's office, from the state, and from the federal government. From the point of that emergency really starting, the chamber has been in constant communication with the city and has been walking with us through this crisis and has been serving really almost as our staff in terms of helping us with the businesses. And as I was thinking through it last week, and Eric Valencia, the executive director, and I were having a conversation, they are spending money related to this crisis, money that they don't really have. They run really lean and mean in their organization over there. And what they did really at our request is gather a lot of links for our business community and our employee community. Those links are up on their website, and they reprogram their website in order to be very clean and clear and easy to follow for businesses who are suffering from this crisis. That costs them money to reprogram their website. We are using their website as a reference point when businesses are calling us. We are directing them to the Reedley Chamber website. In addition, Eric has just been bending over backwards to help me get information out to our community. So posting it on social media sources, getting it out to the Spanish-speaking community, and just getting it everywhere he can possibly get it as a chamber director. And right now, one of my concerns I have is we're requesting so much of the chamber, and yet they are really facing their own interesting fiscal crisis in that a lot of their members don't have income coming in, and I believe their membership fees are going to be dropping because of that. They're also going to be losing some revenue because of events they couldn't hold. So my desire or my wish and recommendation to the council would be that we really assist them through this time period because they are serving so well for us by providing them $5,000. That'll help offset the costs they used for the web reprogramming. It'll also help with some of their staff coverage because Eric and his staff are really part-time. So we've really been utilizing them full-time and, in fact, over the weekend even and well into the evenings as we've been getting new executive orders from the state. Eric has been one of the first I call so that we can get this information out. So I really appreciate their assistance. Frankly, I don't think we've been half as successful as we have been in helping our businesses and getting information out to our community had it not been for the chamber. So Paul did scrub through the budget and find $5,000. I would request council to consider this emergency budget amendment to provide them $5,000 to help them cover costs in this really difficult time.
Council, you have any questions or comments?
You know, I want to make a comment here, but I don't know if it's the right time to include it in this item here.
Feel free, Mr. Slim.
All right. When I met with you by phone yesterday, I mentioned about what Fresno was doing. They're following the city order, Fresno City Council adopted some eviction protection and will waive the late fees for utility bill payments for those whose income has taken a big hit by the virus. And I had mentioned that waiving the fees for the utility bills. And that was wrong, because I said waive the fees for utility bills. It was the late fees.
Oh, the late fees.
Late fees. When I mentioned that to you, I could almost see the heartbeat a little faster and the blood pressure going up, because the first thing you said was it's going to take a big hit to our budget.
Oh, no, I don't believe we are charging late fees right now. The governor has put in place some executive order protections for our utility right. customers.
So. And I would just, because it was in the paper, and I would just ask, I was asking if it was, I don't say let's put it in, but I would like the information, if we did, what would it do to our budget?
Well, so let me take those two, because there's two separate ones you mentioned. One is the evictions, and Scott and I have talked about that. The governor's executive order did outline some issues he would like local governments to take care of with eviction protection so that people are not out in the streets during this coronavirus. What Scott and I talked about is getting language together, but we didn't want to come to the council until we had a full council. Right. And so knowing Mary wasn't going to be here, we will probably be bringing something forward at the following council meeting. We don't think we've got as big of a crisis in that area as the big cities, which is really where the governor was trying to protect the big cities. I think our evictions, and by the way, it's only evictions that are because of the coronavirus crisis. Evictions will still take place even in Fresno if they are for cause or those sorts of things. But we will definitely be bringing some information forward to council on that. As far as the utility bills, we have been very lenient. As you know, the governor's executive order calls for utilities not to shut off water during this time frame or any utilities, and so we are not shutting off anything. People's utility bills, though, as they're using water, they continue to accrue billing. And I'll tell you, I am a little concerned about some of our folks that may misunderstand and think that they don't have to pay a utility bill. They do still have to pay a utility bill, even though we won't be shutting off their water due to that executive order. As far as late fees and such, we can definitely take a look at how that would impact our budget. And so we have taken a very lenient approach, a very gentle approach, because we know that right now people are in a panic and people are losing their jobs. And so, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Nicole, I have a question in regard to the...
And I'm so sorry. Can I mention, Councilmember Solano, if I misunderstood you yesterday, I apologize.
Oh, no, no.
I wasn't...
My comment was, it wasn't the correct statement I should have made. I had said waiving the utility bill.
Oh, okay.
Instead of saying... the late fees.
Got it.
So
you heard me over the phone kind of cringe? Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, Mayor.
That's okay. I just had a question in regards to, you know, if we don't charge late fees, I mean, it's just a domino effect, right? If there's no eviction notices, the landlords, you know, it affects everybody. So I'm thinking, wow, you folks have a lot of difficult decisions and work to do, and I just want to say thank you for all the hard work you do, because I'm thinking, you know, we look for ways to help and assist people in every, you have to think about every little thing that has to do with, I mean, that's everything and everyone. So I just want to say thank you for what you do. And I'm thinking, wow, this is affecting every one of us.
Yes.
So, that's a difficult place to be, but thank you for what you do. Anyhow, I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you for that. And I do have, during staff update, I'll give you a little more information about where we are right now.
Very good. Any other questions from the public, or the council, rather? We close that hearing. Rather, we go on to items.
So, we do need to open it up to the public, and then we will need a motion and a second and a vote.
So, public, if you're listening, it is time to call in. I feel like the TV show. Anyway, you have time to call in. Call us. And, Nicole, the number is?
The number is 637-4200, extension 290, for any comments, questions, concerns.
Mayor.
Good.
No, she's keeping official tabs, so we're good, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, callers, for calling in. That concludes our public hearing. We'd like.
Motion.
Oh, we need a motion. Do I hear a motion to?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Solano?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. Very good. move on to item
15. Information and reports.
Okay, we move on to council reports. Council Member Salino?
Can I bring one item back, item on the consent agenda? I should have taken it off. Can I bring it back? Is it possible?
Scott, as
just asking for clarification. You're not going to change the vote?
No, I'm not changing the vote. Just kind of discussion that I forgot should have been brought. I wanted to bring it.
Pose a question to staff. That's fine.
Yeah, that's all I want.
For the record, the vote's not going to change.
Okay. Item number five had to do with the agreement with the Clovis area modelers.
Yes.
And what the airport?
Yes.
I think if this can be worked out the positive for not only that club, but the city of Reedley, it can be an annual event. It could be a real positive thing for us. Talking about bringing people to the city of Reedley, this event where it's held in Fresno was bringing an awful lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bike track, the same thing. But what I'm trying to say is, the most important part is the hotels. Okay?
Yeah.
Now that Mr. Otani has opened up his property, I think this can be a positive thing for us. So,
I completely agree, and this event is such a long event. It's a multi-day event that
right.
I can see a hotel being
four
absolutely
day,
necessary.
Four day event, yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We have our fingers crossed that this event will take place over Memorial Day.
Right.
Obviously, nobody knows what's going to happen with the virus and the lockdown. But I think if it doesn't happen Memorial Day, we'll simply be able to postpone it to maybe into the
right.
summer.
We still work ahead of schedule. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Council Member Betancourt.
I have nothing.
Very good. Council Member Beck.
No, I don't have anything.
Very good. I have nothing either. Nicole, do you have any reports?
Thank you. Yes, I do have a few, and I just want to let you know the gas company, my contact there had emailed saying thank you. He was listening in, so we know that, so thank you for the support letter. We know that that was working our live streaming. I do want to give you some updates. First and foremost, the city continues its work, even though we have been hampered, even though businesses have shut down that we've been working with. An example I want to give you is we had such momentum going in the aviation world. We had a good relationship working forward with Boeing. I reached out over the weekend just to touch base to make sure all of our friends at Boeing were doing fine. And in fact, they ended up calling for a conference call on Monday. So we got together over the phone, talked. They are absolutely committed to sticking with us. They are not going anywhere. So one of the very nice things is they were asking from the local government perspective, was there something that they or that we thought maybe Boeing could help provide nationwide to local governments. And I thought, wow, they're asking little old Reedley to help them with a corporate issue. And I just thought it was wonderful to be part of that conversation and the fact that they admire us so much in Reedley here. So I just wanted to let you know that we're not going to give up on this, even though right now students aren't using the simulators. Reedley College isn't in session, but we're not going to give up on this. We're going to keep going. So in the same vein, along with the virus, I did put a couple of handouts on your desk there. The first one is just a picture, and the printer copied it a little dark, so it does show up a lot better in person. We are using our community digital billboard for what it was intended during a disaster, and that is to give a very important community message out. So right now, I think 80% of the time on that board is for this message, 80% Russ, roughly. And the other 20% is for businesses that were using the board that may have special messages related to the coronavirus. So 80% of the time it is showing the shelter in place with the two websites that we want folks to go to get resources. On our website, we have anything that I've given the community in terms of a messaging has also been translated into Spanish and is available on our website. So I just wanted to show you that this is one of the reasons we wanted this board in place, and it's up and the message is on there, and so I'm very, very pleased about that. We did also, you'll see this little orange little corner of a sign down here. At our vital entrance points into the city, we did put signs that say, please adhere to shelter and order place. One of them has already been stolen because it is a very unique sign. However, the other ones are still there, thankfully. So, you know, we were just thinking of every which way possible that we could get out to our community. We've now done, I believe, 3 or 4 reverse 911 calls to our community. We're roughly reaching 30 to 35% of phones within our community. We're doing that in both English and Spanish. We have sent all of the messaging out to our community partners to help us distribute that. Of particular concern for us was how do we reach the Spanish-speaking community? And so we have a couple partners who are going to try to help us disseminate information that way. We ultimately decided that we would issue a postcard to each address within the city of Reedley with a simple message that says, for information, please go to Reedley.com for, you know, the city's website. We put that in Spanish as well, just to make sure that if somebody needs some information about the virus, they know where to go. So that postcard, I think, will be hitting all mailboxes within the next day or two or something like that. Very, very simple postcard, but it was just that last-ditch effort to just make sure we're trying to get everybody we can and get the information out to them. Along the lines of information, we did just receive a call from KCUSD this evening. They are going to extend out when school will be off until May 1st. So we know unless the governor or the president do something different, that KCUSD will at least extend out that far, if not farther. That will have an impact on our after-school employees and other folks that work for us that also are on school sites. Right now, our after-school employees have about 2 weeks of pay that we were able to continue through with after-school programs. After that, we will assist them in getting on unemployment, and the governor has changed the unemployment system to where there's no waiting period. It is immediately effective, so we will help our employees through that process, our part-time employees, I should say. And similarly, there is the Workforce Investment Board is doing an employee layoff webinar to help employees who are going to be laid off or who have been laid off because of this virus situation, help them with resources, including unemployment or other jobs, things of that nature. So the chamber has been getting information out in their social media sources, and we've been trying to get information out. So if you run across anybody who is concerned or they've been laid off, please let us know and we'll help guide them to the right direction, the right resource. We have been participating with the Small Business Administration, that's the SBA. They have immediate loans available for small businesses that have been impacted. And granted, I think it's going to take a week or two for businesses to fully feel the impact, but these loans are available immediately. They are ultra low interest loans with a 30-year payback period, and they can be up to $2 million. So for businesses that are just feeling an instant impact, but they know they can recover when this is all done, then we can help get them in and get them some dollars to keep operating. The chamber is really helping us with that one as well. And then we did get a call from the hospital yesterday. They were running short of sanitizing solution, sanitizing wipes. And so the hospital administrator had reached out to me to see what we could do. And I just want to thank both Sarah and Jerry, Fire Chief and Parks and Recreation Community Services Director. We were able to come up with some wipes. Our streets department came up with gallons of disinfectant. And then we reached out to some of our other community partners, and Reedley College has provided, I want to say, like 100 tubs of Lysol wipes that we'll be getting all over to the hospital. So this community really comes together in need, and I'm just so proud of this community. So I wanted to let you know that that was happening. And that's really what our office has been serving as for the last probably week and a half, is just a community resource right now to help facilitate and get the right people in the right places, et cetera. I will say that we're also serving as a translator and interpreter of executive orders because we're getting multiple executive orders. I mean, it's just common. It's frequent. We're getting so many. Even on the weekend, we're getting executive orders. So please do bear with our office. We are trying to read through and interpret and apply all of these laws and rules that are coming down from the state just as quickly as possible. We are also getting regulations from the federal government related to human resources and employees. We're trying to incorporate those as well. Thus far, we have done a bang-up job. We have got great people in our HR area. Darla and Paul have been working with me on interpreting these new regulations that have come down. And in fact, we were on such a good path. What we noticed today, the city of Fresno has sort of retracted how they were doing things with employees and are now following what we're doing with our employees. So made me feel good. We got good folks who are very smart. So just wanted to let you know that I think for the time being, we've got a lot of good community resources in place. We've been gathering information about partners who want to help and gathering information about people who need help, and we're linking those. We are doing grocery deliveries for seniors. We are still doing senior hot meal deliveries. Tomorrow morning, we'll still do the gleaners for the seniors who come through, but we're doing it in a drive-through fashion. So we are still providing services, still keeping our utility billing counter open so that people can walk in. I do think at some point in time we may need to shut that, but we know in this particular community there are a lot of people who walk in the door with cash. So we have put some safeguards in place for our employees. Along that line, we did receive some information, both in English and Spanish, from the gas company that we are going to try to distribute out at our utility billing counter. Southern California Gas is no longer going to be accepting payments person-to-person, in face-to-face. So there is some information on what people can do to get their payments to the gas company. So I did provide that to you in case anybody should ask you for that resource. If you have community members, residents, businesses, employees who have questions or concerns, feel free to turn them over to our office or point them in the direction. Right now, we are open for business. However, we are keeping the door locked to City Hall. We have a very clear sign on there that says we are open, but please call, because we want to make sure that we have reasons why people are coming in and we can monitor the traffic that's coming in. So we are open. Just about every service is still being provided. We're still doing inspections out in the construction community, et cetera, still doing our engineering and our planning. So I feel like right now we're in a pretty good spot. It could change any minute depending on what gets ordered by the state, but for right now I think we're doing pretty good as a city. So
great.
Yeah.
Thank you once again for all you do. And, you know, I have had a lot of folks come to me and ask, is there anything I can do? Is there a family that I can help? Or, you know, there's a lot of good people in this town. Mm-hmm. And it's what a blessing to hear that, as opposed to, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff happening in other areas. But, you know, we live in a good place. We are very blessed in this community. So thank you for all you do. I believe that's any other reports?
Any updates? Any reports? Okay.
I believe we are done for the evening.
Can I bring up one more? I don't know how many of you read the paper today about CalPERS.
I'm sorry, about which?
CalPERS losing $69 billion.
Yes.
That's going to affect our budget in the future. That's another one that we're going to be concerned about.
Yes, Paul and I have talked a little bit about that, and I think what we're going to have to see what happens if the market rebounds in, you know, pretty soon after. But right now, everybody who's invested in the stock market has really taken a dive. So we're going to have to watch that one. And right now, I believe our numbers show that next year we're at 60% of salary for CalPERS in classic safety, and that's our highest group. So it will impact us. It will definitely impact us.
What's frustrating is that when they have bad investments, we have to make up the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's really bad about people. That bothers me. If I'm making bad investments, who's going to help me?
Yeah. I told Paul it's almost a blessing in disguise that they've been so bad over the last few years that we're getting used to this, you know, terrible investment returns. So it wasn't as shocking. But still pretty terrible. I do have some hope that as soon as all of this crisis is through, that the markets are going to rebound. But we'll just have to wait and see.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Well, thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Have a great evening. Be safe. God bless us all. Have a good night.
Thank you.
That concludes our meeting.